The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. So let's continue with our series from Monday when we had a chance to chat with some former Michigan football players, some Michigan assistant football coaches. You heard from Jared Iron, so let's now go to a guy who holds a couple of those, a couple of titles. He holds the title of former Michigan football player, but he also holds the title of current Michigan football dad. He's also a doctor. Here is Sam Webb talking one-on-one with Chris Hutchinson.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. And this seems like an annual thing now, doesn't it, Ira? Where every year for the past few years, we talk to Hutch. Not Coach Hutchins or Aiden Hutchinson, but we talk to the original football Hutch. And we make it happen here. And this is maybe the year where, you know, all the envisioning, all of the projections about what Aiden is going to do in an hour. He just hearing him talk about one last ride, it feels like it's all culminating in this moment, talking to the man who started it off for the Hutchinsons at Michigan, Chris Hutchinson. How you doing?
Very good. You know, if somebody's going to give me a free meal, I'll pretty much show up wherever you want me to.
As we are live out here at Jim Harbaugh's golf outing, Chris, man, you know Aiden better than anyone. As we rewind to last year and you're talking about all the work that you'd seen Aiden put in, the focus and what you've seen in his game, it just feels like heading into this year, everything that you talked about last year is multiplied. That's just from the outside. I'm curious, as his dad, have you noticed that?
Yeah, it was just a reset. Obviously, last year didn't go, at least personally for Aiden, like we wanted it to. But you try to flip that around and look at the silver lining. And I think it was a good thing, the silver lining, with that respect, because if Aiden would have had a great year, I'm not sure that he was ready to come out. Mm-hmm. But I was concerned that maybe he was going to be forced to come out because he was going to be so highly ranked. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't crazy about an edge defensive end guy being 20 years old and playing against some mm-hmm. grown adults. So when we look at that in hindsight, I think we are happy with where we are right now. Aiden's mentally tough, and he is took one day to feel sorry for himself after he got hurt, and then his head was up, and it's time to move on because he knows what the goal is at the end of the day.
I know ultimately you can't measure where he's better until he's on the field playing games. But you played the game. You know what he was before. You know what it looks like to be a player. Where do you see him improved over, say, at this point last year?
Well, it's going to be an interesting transition for him in this new defense. And there's a lot of correlations between what I went through, because my senior year, halfway through, I had to switch to stand up, and he's doing the same thing. Obviously, he's got a full year to be prepared for it. So we've talked a lot about that. My biggest concern was how he was going to do at 6'6" standing up, because mm-hmm. me, 6'2" standing up is not much different than me being a 4-point. I'm short.
So well, bro, listen.
Not as short as you.
I was about to say. I was like, yeah, cry me a river at 6'2". You're short. Right.
So he, he's adapted very well. He does an excellent job, despite being 6'6", of still staying low. And you know, the next big thing was I hated dropping. I wasn't any good at it, and I was put in positions that probably weren't ideal for me. But, hell, I've seen Aiden cover our tight end. It's 25 yards downfield in man coverage. He looks like he's been doing it his whole life.
Yeah, I remember not last year, but the year prior, him dropping in the cover.
Yeah, these zone blitzes.
Yeah, zone blitzes, and he almost had a couple picks. I said, Aiden, you were a tight end, right? What happened, man?
Yeah,
happened? I mean, it was almost a pick six against Penn State, I think, was one that it seemed like he could have taken back. But he seemed comfortable doing that. So as much as it's a transition, it doesn't feel like an uncomfortable one. Is that?
And I think you hit it on the head. I think him playing tight end in high school and, you know, tight end for him in high school was not on the line. Half the time he was a wide receiver. So he's comfortable in space. Me personally, I'm not comfortable in space. I like the big fat guys to be all around me and, you know, get in there and use my leverage. But he revels in it. He wants the challenge. He's excited. I mean, this is From a next level perspective, half the NFL teams run a 3-4, the other half run a 4-3, and people were asking, you know, can he run a 3-4? Can he be the edge guy, outside linebacker? So we're going to see. So I think it's going to help him because I think he's going to have great success this year.
So we talked a lot about, you know, versatility. Now, he made it clear talking last year, look, I don't want to be on the inside like my dad. I'm not a defensive tackle. I want to play on the outside. That goes to a different level in this defense. But another thing that goes to a different level is the kind of leadership that is expected of him this year. And talk about another transition that feels very comfortable for him. That one, absolutely. It's like, I mean, he's leaning into that full bore. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. And again, I try to draw correlations between what I went through. I was not nearly as comfortable as Aiden. I could lead by example every day, all day, getting up there and being the bad guy behind, you know, what's going to happen and getting in people's faces and being positive or negative or all those sorts of things to motivate people. He has embraced that. You know, you don't know how they're going to respond when they're put in that position. And from what I've heard, what I've seen on film, how he supported, you know, because he couldn't do everything in spring ball, mm-hmm. he still supported everybody on offense and defense. And, you know, he has been well received.
So let's go back. I like to make the correlation between your time and his time because, you know, Ohio State, you guys obviously had a different experience versus Ohio State compared to anyone in this century. Right. And so one of the things that Aiden and the other guys talked about is like Ohio State's been an emphasis. Make no mistake. We've focused on it. But there's a different level of focus now. How did you guys, let's start off first with how you guys approached it. Was it a week of thing? Was it a November thing? Was it a season thing? Or was it every year, every day thing? How did you guys approach preparation for Ohio State?
It was always in the back of your mind. But from a coaches and billboards and clocks and those sorts of things, we talked about it in the off season. We talked about it in early camp. But once you got into the season, you focused on each week. That's all you can do. And then that thing is at the end of the year, that's going to take care of itself. And I think sometimes just because of the product we put on the field and how lack of success they had, I think that narrative of they do this and they do that has way outstripped itself from what its actual usefulness is. These mm-hmm. kids, you know, they just haven't had what it took to beat. I mean, let's face it, Ohio State is a very good football team, mm-hmm. and they have been since Aiden has been there, and it's been a while. And we haven't been up to that character yet. Mm-hmm. We've been close a couple of times, but it has more to do with what we're doing, the environment, the kids out there, the coaches, than it does billboard material and clocks on the wall and those sorts of things, which are nice. But I think that was way overblown. And the media loves to harp on, hey, they've got this clock in their weight room and they didn't refer to you by name. It's like, that's great. That's,
you know, fine. Ohio State sort of gasses that up too. I think one of their players, I think it was Justin Fields, who said, we focus on it more than they do. It's more important to us than it is to them. So I think Ohio State sort of drives that narrative too.
Well, why wouldn't, when you've been kicking our ass for the last decade or two? So, you know, it's to their benefit. I mean, what are we supposed to say? Hey, we'll give it a, you know, we'll put a bigger billboard up. We'll get a Jumbotron. It doesn't matter. You got to be able to play. And we haven't matched up.
I've heard the players talk about, they've used the word culture and, you know, talk about, you know, all being on the same page and being together and that kind of thing. And it made me think of something that Jared Irons said when he was in here. He said, you know, as much as Ohio State and Michigan is about two talented teams playing, it's never been about who had the most talent that won. He said the years where we beat, he's talking about his team, where we beat Ohio State, they were more talented than us. And you can look at the NFL drafts and see that. But in that game, we were always focused. We were always together. We were always pulling in the same direction. There was just a synergy amongst the guys on the team. And it feel, again, I'm not on this team to know what they mean when they say, hey, man, you know, we feel the culture. We see some improvement there. As his dad, can you kind of see what he or they are talking about in that regard?
So I'll answer that two different ways. From my perspective, I looked at it like this. Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin. They play with Ohio State. You're telling me any of those three schools have more talent than we do?
Right.
Absolutely not. So why can't we play with them? So that, to me, that's where it neutralizes the talent difference. Does Ohio State have a little bit more talent than those other three teams? Probably. Mm-hmm. But they don't have those other three teams should be right with us. So why can't we play? Mm-hmm. So there, to me, that's the issue. From the beginning of spring ball, Aiden has come back. Before the media got a hold of this, he's like, "Dad, I don't know what it is. Something's different about spring ball." He's like, "The energy's different. We're having fun." He's like, "I don't know what it is. I've never been around this program like this. Everything feels different." And it just continued. He said, "The workouts in the summer feel different." He's like, whatever this is, it's different. And it's different in a good way.
Outstanding stuff. And so I'll finish this off with a question that I know you're facing. Every college athlete across the spectrum is facing. Every parent of a student athlete is facing. NIL. And its impact on the student athlete, its impact on college athletics. I'm curious your perspective on that. There are some fans that say it's going to, some they think it's going to ruin the sport. It's not going to be as pure anymore as they think. Others say, hey, players are going to be distracted. As a former student athlete, now the father of one, what's your take on it?
You have 8 minutes before commercial break? Because I got a lot of thoughts about this.
Go for it. Go for it.
So, let me tell you this. The transfer portal, I think it has a lot of good things that come out of it. Is there some bad? Absolutely. But I honestly believe that the good that comes out of it is more than the bad. NIL, we haven't seen the bad yet, but it's coming. There's going to be some heartache and some bad stories that come from this just because of the way the dysfunctional NCAA rolled this thing out or didn't roll it out, had it rolled out on them. But I'll tell you from Aiden's perspective, because of where we hope to be in 6 months, we've had to be very cautious. Because, mm-hmm. Sure, hey, he can get $20,000 to sign a football card deal, but what's that going to do to him in 6 months when – you know, you can sign it for more. Mm-hmm. So we've actually been turning down more things than we've accepted because he's in this transition period where we're hoping to be a high draft pick, mm-hmm. and hoping to have a lot of success. And then comes these marketing deals and et cetera. So if you put a bunch of merchandise out there, it may potentially diminish what you're able to demand when you're drafted. Mm-hmm. So we've had to be very, very careful with this and how the things that we agree to aren't going to potentially have, because no one knows. The people that we're talking to, that we're getting advice from, nobody knows. We're all going through this together. And Aiden is fortunate enough that he doesn't need the money. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, I mean, my father-in-law is an attorney, and every contract we would get with a sponsor, I forward it right to him, and he'll make changes because, you know, some of them don't have Aiden's best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that don't have those sorts of tools at their disposal, and they're going to get taken advantage of. If you don't, you know, if you don't make sure that these sponsorships end when your eligibility ends, they have whatever you agree to on that, they have that potentially for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be very, very careful. And obviously, lots of people talk about the kids not knowing how to take out taxes. I mean, I still try to tell my kids about, you know, what's the difference between the quarterly taxes and the end of the year taxes. And the young kids, until they get going and make some mistakes, they don't realize what all this is. So that's going to happen. And it's not going to be pretty. The good side about it, I do think that it may keep some kids in college a little longer because now they're going to have some money, mm-hmm. to potentially live on and help people out with and not have to make that jump when they're going to be a fourth or fifth rounder and maybe stay in another year. I'm hoping that's going to happen. I'm hoping some of the kids say, you know what? I made $25,000 this year in NIL. I can stay another year. I hope that's going to keep these kids in here. That's going to then bump them up from a fifth to a second, or who knows how high they can go. Because I think that's, to me, I feel sad when some of these kids have to leave early because of their family situations to help them out financially, mm-hmm. and they give up so much potential money. And I get the injury part, and you know, but it's a big challenge for me to watch some of these kids go out early when they could have stayed. And it's not just Michigan play. I mean, I'm talking every program. I think I'm not the old hardened old school guy that says you got to stay there for 5 years and be there for your team. No. if you're going to be a first rounder, you need to leave. Right. If you're going to be a second rounder, you got to make some, you know, tougher choices. You're going to be a fifth rounder, you got to have a really good reason. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they got somebody in their ear saying, oh, you can be a second. You may sleep into, you may sneak into the first. Come on, bro. That ain't going to happen. So it's, you know, hopefully that's what we provided to Aiden. But, you know, I NIL was long, long, long overdue. It'll be interesting to see how the other side of the NIL, and we're talking legit deals here.
Right.
What I'm worried about is, you know, hey, come down to the car dealership, take a picture, and we'll give you, you know, $1,000 a week while you're here. I mean, you hear some of these boosters making some ridiculous comments. I mean, you do some work, you get paid. Hey, I'm all for it. You do not some work and get paid for it. Well, I mean, okay, but that's where it starts to get gray and can very easily go down the rabbit hole. And next thing you know, it's just one step away from the brown bags.
Right, right. Absolutely. Great perspective from Chris Hutchinson. Looking forward to seeing what Aiden is able to bring to the table this year. But my expectation is everything that we've been talking about for years, like I said at the beginning, culminates in an outstanding year that I think we're going to see from Aiden. Thanks a lot for your time.
Amen. Thank you.
Great stuff from Chris Hutchinson. Sam Webb joins the conversation live from Orlando, Florida, home of Eric Adelson, here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.